grace, by mercy, by divine compassion, it will come upon your life. Raise up that blessed, anointed, and Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're asking, Lord, tonight, you will touch every life. You turn every life around for the better. Good things will happen. Great things will happen. Gracious miracle upon every life tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because it's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Say your own amen before you sit down. God bless you. You can sit down. Today, we're talking about amazing grace. Amazing grace coming upon your life, that everything we have, everything we receive, everything we experience is by the grace of God. In Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men without exception. Here at the Alpha location, there, anywhere you are, the grace of God bringing salvation, bringing forgiveness, bringing healing, bringing deliverance, bringing everything Christ died for on the cross of Calvary. Remember that. Remember that. Everything that Christ died for on the cross of Calvary, it is the grace of God that bringeth that to you. And it has appeared unto all men, all creatures of God, all sinners, all saints, all believers, all unbelievers, every man, every woman, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that bringeth the blessings from Calvary, has appeared to all men. Look at verse 12. It's a teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, when the grace of God comes, and some people, the way they think about the grace of God, they were in the pit, they were in the dungeon before the grace of God came to them. They say now the grace of God has come to them and leaves them in the pit, and leaves them in the dungeon, and leaves them in the defilement, and leaves them in the filthiness of the past. That's no grace. We don't need grace to remain in filthiness. We don't need grace to remain in sin. We don't need grace to remain in the old life. But when the grace of God comes unto you, it teaches you that you deny ungodliness and you deny worldly lusts, we should live soberly. The difference between ungodliness and sobriety is the difference that grace comes to make in every life. And we should live righteously. The difference between unrighteousness and righteousness is what the grace of God has come to do. You know, there are people that will say, you know, I am tormented, praise the Lord. I'm sick, praise the Lord. I'm sinful, praise the Lord. I'm weak, praise the Lord. You're misplaced. You praise the Lord. We don't praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm sick. Praise the Lord. I'm sinful. Praise the Lord. I'm defiled. Praise the Lord. I am fleshly. Praise the Lord. I am evil. No, you're misplaced. You praise the Lord. It is when the grace of God comes in your life and it teaches you and it transforms you, that ungodliness is taken away and now you are godly. Unrighteousness is taken away, now you are righteous. And then you can say, the grace that bringeth salvation has appeared to me. Praise the Lord. And it says, in this present world, the grace makes us to live righteously, godly, soberly, in this present world. That's what salvation means. Salvation comes to change our lives. Salvation is not just to make us happy, happy in sin, happy in evil, happy in defilement, happy in bad character. No, the salvation comes and it turns unrighteous people to righteousness. It turns ungodly people to godliness. And the people that have been defiled and bogged down with worldly lust, it takes the lust away from them. And now, because they are new creatures in Christ, and the grace of God has brought express, evident, visible change in their lives. That's why we can now say, praise the Lord, the grace of God has appeared unto me in this present world. And now in verse 13 it says, we're not looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, who gave himself for us. Have you ever thought about Calvary? Who gave himself for us? Have you ever thought about the pain, the agony that Jesus went through on the cross of Calvary? Who gave himself for us? Have you ever thought about what Christ gave up in heaven to come to earth and to suffer? Have you ever thought of the reason why, and the purpose why, and the result of that Christ giving himself for us? Who gave himself for us? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. Religion has spoiled everything. Religion says, come to church, continue your past old life, and continue in whatever degradation, whatever iniquity. You just come to our church. Just come to our church. And once you get to our church, whatever you are doing, no problem. It's like the church is becoming a religious party. Look at that denomination, at the party there. Look at this one. This one is Deeper Life Party. This one, that one is Pentecostal Party. And they say, now, if you come to our religious party, if you declare and you take a religious card, whatever you do, doesn't matter. You can steal, you can commit adultery, you can be a drunkard, come to our party. Party card will make you free from judgment. That's what religion has turned to. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that we now deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and we live soberly. We live righteously and we live godly in this present world because Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify. You see, that's what the grace of God came to do. Purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I'm talking to you tonight. An amazing transformation through God's amazing grace, amazing transformation through God's amazing grace. Three things we're looking at. We're looking at so great salvation provided for you and for all. So great salvation. He died on the cross of Calvary so that he'll provide for you so great salvation. Number two, so great healing. Then, now, and always. What Christ did, the stripes he bore as they were going to crucify him, by his stripes were healed. No amen there. Come back, come back. By his stripes we are healed. So great healing then, now, and always. And the reason why he saved us, can I tell you? He didn't save us just to come to church. Yes, we're saved, we come to church. He didn't save us so that we can say, I'm born again. Yes, I'm born again. And we need to say that. But ultimately, finally, he saved us so as to get us to heaven. He saved us so that he'll take us to heaven. You understand? All those 5,000 people that were in the meeting and Jesus gave them miracle bread. Sit down. 50 by 50 by 100, 5,000 people. He gave them food. Good. If that food sustains them and they get to heaven, well and good. If that food, the edge, 5,000 of them, if it did not give them the spiritual strength to get to heaven, the eating of the bread, the miracle of the bread will be temporary, because all those who ate the bread, and you can see, well, we're there. We ate of that miracle food. If they don't get to heaven, they'll be going to hell. What's the use I have of eating miracle bread? What's the use? I got the healing. What's the use? I got the blessing. What's the use? I belong to Christ's church on earth. But over there, the fellow is not anywhere to be found. The reason why he came is to take people out of their sin into holiness of life, and through that holiness, get them to heaven. Point number three, so great heaven prepared by the Almighty. So great heaven, nothing to compare heaven to. Nothing to compare the abode of God, the abode of the holy angels, and the abode of redeemed, sanctified, holy saints in heaven. There's nowhere to compare with that. So great heaven prepared by the Almighty. Look at number one. Number one, so great salvation provided for you and for all. We're told in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So great salvation provided by the suffering of Christ, provided by the sacrifice of Christ, provided by the salvation from the Lord. How shall we escape judgment? How shall we escape eternal suffering? How shall we escape all the torment, all the torture of hell fire? If we neglect so great salvation, you'll not neglect so great salvation. says for self, I will not neglect so great salvation. That's why we came. We didn't come to the crusade GCK for entertainment. We didn't come to the GCK for, you know, jubilation. It has come to our turn. The GCK is in our city. That's all right. That's all right. But the reason why we have the GCK is because we need to have so great salvation. And how will you escape the judgment of God if you neglect, if you reject so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now I come and I confirm that great salvation to you. I proclaim that great salvation for you. I show you that that great salvation that saves us from sin, that changes our lives, that turns our life around, I tell you, it's for you and it is for all. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Who was before a blasphemer? This Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle, he said, who was before a blasphemer? Now, if he had said, who is now a blasphemer, he would not have tasted of the grace of God. The grace of God keeps past things past. The grace of God keeps the old life in the past. The grace of God keeps all the blaspheming, all the sinfulness, all the transgression, all the iniquity. The grace of God keeps all that in the past. He was before this time a blasphemer and a persecutor. If he was still a blasphemer, he did not have salvation. If he was still a persecutor, he did not have salvation. Now think, if the man said, I receive Christ now, I'm born again now, I have salvation now, and what he used to do, he used to go to the houses of men and women, jerk them out of there and put them in the prison. And if the man was still like that, there's no salvation. If you come here and you say, I was part of the GCK, you know what, pastor? 6 days, I didn't miss one single day. You were stealing before. If you still go back, you are stealing, you didn't get salvation. You are lying, deceiving before. If you still go back and do that, there's no salvation there. If you were still injuring, hurting people like you were doing before, there's no salvation there. When salvation comes, he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor and injurious. Now, why was he injurious? He was unhappy that some of these Jewish people, they left traditional religion and they went to believe in Christ. He said, as long as he was alive, he was going to take it on them. He was going to retaliate on them. That they left our father's religion and they went to born again righteousness. That's why he went everywhere, ransacking everywhere, taking vengeance on them, retaliating on them. If you're still in the lifestyle of retaliation, because this one moved from Judaism and he moved to real, pure, heaven-sent Christianity, if retaliation is in your life, because that one was moved from there and moved over here, that retaliation shows, my friend, you are not born again. When we're born again, life changes. When we're born again, life turns around. He was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy because I did, past tense, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, if you have come here, before you came, you are ignorant of the judgment of God on those who steal. Now, you've listened from Thursday until this day, you are no more ignorant. You know, the sinner, if he dies in sin, he will spend forever and forever in hellfire. You are no more ignorant. Paul the apostle said, I heard my name, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, no more ignorance. He didn't know he was persecuting Jesus. He didn't know all the injury, all the pain he caused. He caused that to the people of God, and he caused that to Jesus. He did it when he was ignorant in unbelief. But now, I can't do that anymore. I can't go and do that. Even in the secret, think of a preacher, think of a pastor, think of an evangelist like me who is preaching, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Who is preaching the word of Jesus? That these are the things that defile men. Adultery, fornication, evil, lasciviousness. Think about a man that is preaching that. He's not ignorant, because after all, he's preaching it. If he now goes to adultery, to fornication, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Sunday school teacher, you're not ignorant anymore. And if you're a sinner, tell the Lord, I know I am still a sinner. And what you are doing, you cannot say, I'm ignorant. He was ignorant, but now there's no more ignorance. You need to confess and forsake your sin, so that the grace that bringeth salvation will be effective in your life. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, and the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what happens. The grace of God comes into our lives, and the grace of God makes a change. The grace of God turns your life around. The grace of God gives you a gracious transformation. And tonight is your night. Amen. Amen. I'm looking at Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Why did he say that? A person like him should not have been called to salvation, because it's gone beyond the last branch of the tree in committing sin. A person like him should not have been called into sanctification. Why? Look at what he has done. Look at the injury he has caused. Look at the people he had persecuted. And look at the people, imagine when I meet some of the people to deny their faith. He said, I forced them to blaspheme. I so goaded them and I pushed them and I made them suffer pain until they blaspheme. A person like that should not have been called to salvation, to sanctification, to service. But then he said, he removed me, took me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace. The Lord has called you by his grace. I'm talking to somebody there. Not by marriage. If we're going by marriage, you'll never make it. Not by money. If we're going by money, you'll never buy salvation. Because salvation is so costly. Salvation is so high. Salvation is so deep. Salvation is so heavenly that your earthly money, your earthly resources cannot buy salvation. Not by marriage, not by money, and not by your manliness. Manliness, I take it. Take it by force. No, this one is by grace. And you need to come through the grace of God so that you will have the salvation that is provided by the Lord. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, to reveal his son in me, to reveal what the grace of the son can do in a man like me, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him, first of all, possess the salvation, and then proclaim, preach the salvation among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I didn't think twice. I just knew this is my chance. And I received Christ, the Savior, and salvation came into my life. And today, the same thing will happen to you. Immediately. Say a good amen. If you are going to give your heart to the word and to the Lord, a good amen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us, not now, in times past, now, at this time, preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Life had totally changed. He who stole a property before now is no more stealing, is a giver. He who oppressed us before is not an oppressor anymore. He's so kind and gentle because salvation has come unto the salvation. When salvation comes in your life, life turns around. The past sins are gone. You are set free. And the past bad habit, all that Christ deals with. And you are not a person still doing the old thing. I'm born again. No, being born again means Christ comes into your life and a change, a transformation has now happened. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, and he glorified God in me. Hold on. If the people he was persecuting before was still persecuting them, they will not glorify God in him. If the people he oppressed before, he was still oppressing them, they will not glorify God in him. If all the negative and sinful life, the carnal life he was living before, if he was still living in that carnality and wickedness, they will not glorify God in him. A change came. A transformation came. A thoughtful life. a transformed life, a triumphant life because of that new life. That's why they glorify God in him. As you get saved, maybe you are saved already during this GCK. You're going to be saved today, or somebody is going to get saved tomorrow. The people in your family, when you see the new life, when they see that grace is at work in your life, they'll glorify God in you. Good, good, amen. Well, looking at number two here, number two is so great healing. Then, now, and always, every healing that Christ gives is so great, is so marvelous, that the people said they were amazed because they never saw anything like this before. And today, it brings that kind of healing in your life. It brings that kind of deliverance to your life. And it brings that kind of miracle upon your life today in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 7, I'm reading from verse 21. It says, and in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. That same hour, can you think of within 1 hour, many that were blind, they received their sight. The deaf and the dumb, many, they received their hearing and they received their speaking. And many that had plagues on them, within that same hour, he cured them. And many that had evil spirit, devilish spirits, the devil that drove them here, drove them there, and drove them to unthinkable, unimaginable evil, he cast out the devil. And the people that were lunatic, that were insane, he delivered them that same hour. We say that is the great, so great salvation. And it happened then, it happens now. In your life, it happens now. In this congregation, it happens now. Online, everywhere, as we're connected together, it happens now. And then, and always, have you heard the testimonies? GCK, last year, October, loose them, let them go. That's where I got my miracle. Another one, GCK Taraba, 2024 March. That's where I got my miracle. And now we're going to see GCK Abba Abia. That's where I got my miracle. Because it happened then, it's happening now, and it will happen always. Always. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 15. In James chapter 5, verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Heal the sick. What kind of prayer are we praying here? I said, what kind of prayer are we praying for you here? Prayer of unbelief? Prayer of doubting? Prayer of Thomas? I will not see, I will not believe, except I see that the prayer of Thomas. Are we praying the prayer of Thomas here? What kind of prayer are we praying? Prayer that prayer of faith will heal you. Yeah. It will deliver you. Yeah. It will set you free. Yeah. Tonight, what he did then, he does now. and he does always. The prayer of faith shall save the seed, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. If you have committed sin, as you say, yes, Lord, I'm here. I'll not lie. I've not done well. I've done this and that. Tonight, he will forgive you. And then he will heal your sick body. The prayer of faith, remember? Then it was the prayer of faith. Now, the prayer of faith, always the prayer of faith, and that prayer of faith will heal you tonight. And you'll have the so great healing. Look at number three. Number three, we're looking at so great heaven. There's no point to even be reading the Bible if you don't have mind of going to heaven. There's no point. You're going to church and you just go. Are you coming to church? Well, my daddy was a member of this church. My mommy was a member of this church. And now I come to the church of my parents. That's not a good reason. Why do you pray? Well, everybody must pray. And at least I'll pray the Lord's Prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do you pray that prayer? Are you going to heaven? I wasn't thinking of that. What did you think of that when you said, our Father, which art in heaven? What did you think of that when you said, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven? You know there is heaven from even that prayer you are praying. You pray, you read the word, you come to church, you come to crusade, so that when our time on earth is finished, heaven, you will go there. And that means that what you get at the crusade, you continue with back at home, because the rapture may not take place during the crusade. It may take place while you're sleeping at home, while you're doing something at home. Suddenly, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we, which remain alive, will be caught up with them ever to be with the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The heaven so bright, so great, so splendid, the paradise so great, and their abode, the habitation of the Lord, so beautiful. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man that they can give us the full description. That's the place where there will be no night. That's the place where there will be no sickness. That's the place where there will be no death anymore. That's the place where there will be no suffering. That's the place where there will be no disturbance. There will be no Satan there. There will be no evil spirit there. There will be no wicked people there. There will be no tormentors there. There will be no people that will make you feel unhappy and sorrowful there. It will be happiness forever, joy forever, gladness forever. Eye has not seen, no ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. What the commandment? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look at John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, it tells us, let not your heart be troubled if you believe. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm not physically there because I go to prepare a place for you. So while it's a way, if there's any sin that will hinder you from getting to heaven, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any society, any gang, any group that will take away from you your confidence and your faith in the Lord, come out from among them. If there's any habit, if there's any lifestyle that you borrowed, you got from children of the devil and the children of this world, drop them, because it's going to prepare a place for you. He says in verse 3, and he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Now, if you knew that he was going to come this very hour, wouldn't you search your heart? Wouldn't you say, whatever it will come and find in me that will disqualify me and that will make him say, it's none of my people. Yes, I know. He goes to their church. He goes to that other church. Yes, I know. He even writes deeper life at the back of his dress. But it's not what we read at the back. It's what we see on the inside. If you knew that Christ will come at this very time, and that sin in your heart, that sin in your life, that night habit, that habit in the dark that you practice, if you knew it will come at this hour and you want to go to heaven, you repent immediately. He's coming again, and I pray when he comes, he will not find you in sin. Amen. He will not find you in transgression. He'll not find you in fighting. He'll not find you in retaliation. Because God says, leave that in my hand. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. If you knew that Christ was coming now, how will you shape up your life? And how will you surrender your life? How would you allow him to cleanse you and to purge you and take every evil away from you? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that whither where I am, there ye may be also. I will be there. I will be there. You'll be there in Jesus' name. What does it take to be there? Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unbelievers are the people that live anyhow. They don't believe anything. They don't believe salvation. They don't believe Christ's coming. They don't believe there's a day of judgment. They don't believe there's a possibility of living right. Don't be unequally yoked with them. If somebody has stolen his own bag of money and he doesn't want to deposit it in the bank, because if he does in his name, when they begin to check the records, they might find out he was involved. And he brought it to you and he said, now, whatever you can do, keep this one for me. I'm sorry, I'll not keep stealing property for anybody. Somebody there, I will not keep stealing property for anybody. When you keep the stolen goods, and you keep it for them, you are unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If anyone will have any interaction, any agreement of the Saul of old before conversion, and Saul comes and he says, you know, I'm not tired of persecuting those people, but I just want to take a brief period so I don't do it directly myself. And he puts it in your hand. This is what you would have done. This is what I saw, the blasphemer, the injurious person, the persecutor. This is what I would have done, but I can't do it now. So I transfer it to you. Do it on my behalf. If you do, you are, no matter who you are unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But the Lord is saying, if you're going to get to heaven, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has he that has the light with darkness? You profess to be in the light in the afternoon. What are you doing with the works of darkness in the night? Look at verse 15. In verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? If you say you carry Christ in your heart, and the people say it in the normal language, idol worshiper, Satan worshiper, and then you are in agreement with them, and you are forming a company with them, you are forming a group with them, you are forming whatever with them, so that the project of Satan that he has given to that son of Belial, that project, you too, a Christian, big Christian, you will join your resources together and further the project of Belial. How are you a Christian? In the real sense, of what part as he that believeth with an infidel? In verse 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? With idols. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, God the Almighty, from heaven. It sounds unto us the proclamation. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. When you make up your mind, I turn away from them all. I repent from them all. Getting to heaven is not child's play. Getting to heaven is not like gambling. I have to take a definite step. Repent, turn away, and turn to the Lord. And all those evil things I have in common with the unbelievers, I throw them away. That is what it takes. And don't touch it anymore. Don't go near it anymore. And then I will receive you. Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you. When you do that, when you reject that evil sin, and when you break every unequal yoke, every connection with the gang of people that do evil, only when you've done that and you say unto me, You will not go there anymore. You will not do that anymore. You will not touch the unclean thing anymore. Then I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Tell me. Says who? The Lord Almighty. It's not me saying you should repent. It's the Lord Almighty. It's not me saying if you want to get to heaven, if you want to have relationship with God, break up that unequal yoke. That's not me. It's what the Almighty God has said. And I know you came so you can hear what God saying to me today. This is what God is saying to you today. He says, when you do what I say to do, and you turn away from evil, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And in the place Christ is preparing for you in heaven, nobody will take your place. I said, nobody will take your place. I see Noah. Noah, why are you building this great ark? And he says, because a flood is coming. It will sweep over everyone on earth except the believer. And so, on the one hand, he's building the ark. On the other hand, he's a preacher of righteousness. And he called the people. There were rooms in the ark. And eventually, the Lord said, the day has come. Enter into there. Noah entered. His wife entered. You will enter. Amen. Your wife will enter. Amen. And the children entered. Your children will enter. Amen. And their wives entered. Your in-laws will enter. Amen. And God shut the door. Before he shut the door, Noah might have been asking, there's so much room in the ark. That place, I spent so many years building this ark, and the people, they are not coming. And God said, that's all right, take the animals, the clean ones, 7 by 7, let them enter. They'll fill up the places that those men, those women refuse to get into, and even the unclean animals, put them there. That means they are not edible, they are not useful for consumption, but 2 by 2, take them there. And as those animals replaced the men and the women and the boys and the girls, God shut the door. And then the rain began to pour down. And the fountain of the flood also became active. And the water was covering. Now, at that time, you were not there, I was not there, but I know this, what happened. People were now coming. This is real. Judgment has come. This is real. The flood has come. They were not knocking. Uncle Noah, open up for me. It's so and so. You remember me? You remember my name? And Noah will say, the key is not in my hand. At the time of opportunity, you didn't enter. Now the flood has come. And Jesus said, and the flood took them all away. Here is your day of salvation. Amen. Your day of opportunity. Amen. Yes. The grace of God that bringeth salvation is appearing to you now, appearing to all. And it says, this is your chance. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is yours tonight. Redemption is yours tonight. Forgiveness is yours tonight. If you don't repent, if you don't give your life to the Lord, that one day when the opportunity will come to get to heaven, another person will take your place. Another person will take your crown. Another person will take the place where the Lord has gone to prepare for you. God forbid. God forbid. I will take my place. I will have my own salvation. I will have my own forgiveness. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The call is coming once again. Do not gamble with eternal life or salvation. Today, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can call today because he's calling you. And if you are repenting from your sin, if you are throwing all those evil things away, if you are turning away from that sinful, injurious life, wherever you are, raise up your hand. God bless you there. God bless you there. It's your chance. It's your opportunity. Raise up that hand to the right, to the left, at the center, at the back, anywhere you are, and you are hearing the call of God to salvation, to repentance. Raise up that hand. Take it serious. Take it serious. Very important. No pretense here now. No gambling here with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. Raise up that hand. If you're raising up your hand, God bless you there. You stand up now. You're standing up for salvation in Christ. You're standing up for the forgiveness in Christ. You are standing up for the favor coming from heaven. You're standing up for the grace that bringeth salvation to all men. Stand up right there. And as you are raising up your hand and you are standing up, we do that so online. God bless you. You are already doing it online in that congregation. You are connected with the crusade here tonight. Raise up that hand and stand up. And if you're in the prison, if you are in the hospital, and you are connected with us here, even though you are so sick, you are tied to the bed, and you cannot stand up, but make a signal and raise up that hand in a way you can. And then over the radio, over the television, identify yourself and say, Lord, I turn away from my sin. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want your forgiveness. I want your salvation right now. And tell him, I come to Christ and I will not turn back. I will not go back. Tell the Lord. I'm praying with you now. Keep up your hand. Keep on standing up for the Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and according to your faithfulness that says, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. All these raising up their hands, all these standing, and they repent and turn away from every evil in their lives. Lord, I pray, forgive them in Jesus' name. And I pray you grant them the faith to hold on to Christ, our Savior. Save them. Redeem them. Transform their lives. Write their names in the book of life in heaven. Lord, I pray nobody will take their place in heaven. The place meant for them. The robe of righteousness meant for them. The crown of righteousness meant for them. Lord, the mansion meant for them. In heaven, they'll not miss it or lose it in Jesus' name. Confirm your salvation in their heart. Confirm the change, the newness, the transformation in their hearts, Lord. Thank you, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another amen. God bless you. Keep on standing. We'll call on our Cameroon overseer to come and lead us in this session now of taking the names of the converts and writing the details, all the details they'll be asking you. Welcome, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. We congratulate you for this great decision you have taken. Please keep standing. And all our ushers, counselors, choristers, please let's get to them. Give them the forms and let them fill them very well. In capital letters, write their names and the popular names they are called and the area where they are living. If the place does not have very good street demarcations and numbers, please, let's do that quickly. Let's do that quickly and get them. Let's get to all the corners on the left, on the right, in the tent, on the streets, at the buildings, at the far back, wherever the people are. Please, let's do that. Please, if you can write, and they have given you the card, write it very well. Write very legibly. Now you have given your life to Christ. There's no room for lying again. We want to help you. We want to help you to move forward in your faith. That is the reason why we're getting that. We're not demanding any money from you. It's for your spiritual welfare. Please, let's do that. Our choristers, please join as many as we can so that we can get the names and give to our supervisors the cards as we have been directed. Let's do that quickly. And those who made decisions on radio and on television, please get back to us and use the telephone number on your screen and that is displayed on your radio. This number, plus 234-915-444-9263. Text your details to us through that number, through SMS or WhatsApp. Please do that, and the Lord will bless you. You have made a great decision. You are getting ready to inherit the kingdom of God. So great heaven prepared for us. You have taken the first step, and this is to help you to continue to march forward. And all our converts, let's remind you that the Converts Rally continues tomorrow by 3 p.m. The Converts Banquet continues tomorrow. Lunch hour with Jesus by 3 p.m. at the white tent over there. All the converts of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and today, Monday, please meet us at the white tent by 3 p.m. Other announcements, the Converts Rally will hold this Sunday, 5th of May, in all our designated centers, our group centers in the whole of Abia State. Please do well to come there by 3 p.m. 3 p.m. And the Lord will bless you. The convener will be happy that you attended. It is for your own good. Please do well to attend. And all our follow-up leaders, follow-up workers, we have a duty to use the cards that will be given also to follow them up, text them, call them, visit them, and bring them to the banquet centers. 5th of May, this Sunday, 2024. God bless you as you come. Please let our leaders, counselors, ushers, all those who are assigned this great duty, let's be up and doing and get the names and get the addresses properly, and so that we can help them to continue in the faith. God bless you as you do that. God strengthen you as you do that. And God give you more grace to do that in Jesus' name. Please, let's do that quickly. And if you are finished in your center, you can wave your flag on my left, on my right, in the middle, at the back, at the far back. Please, if you are finished, let us see you indicate by waving your flag.
Amen. Remember, so great healing coming upon you. It is your time. And that great healing will come in the same hour. Jesus healed the sick and healed them of their sickness, of their plagues, and of evil spirits. He delivered all of them. And that great healing, as it happened then, it happens now, it happens always. This is your own time. You have any sickness, any plague, any disease, any infirmity, impotence, whatever, anywhere in your body, lay your hand right there and raise up the other hand, and the power of the Lord and the healing from the Lord will come upon you right there. And you'll have a testimony tonight. I have testimony tonight. So great healing will come upon you. So great deliverance will come upon you. Definite, visible, verifiable. Raise up that hand. Father, in Jesus' name. Mighty God, faithful God, what you have promised, you cannot fail, you will not fail. And you are faithful to everyone. As you are faithful then, in the past, now, at the present, and always, every time. We're asking your faithfulness will touch everyone now. Heal your people in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, there'll be great healing right now. Amen. Long-standing problems will vanish away. Amen. Terminal diseases will vanish away. Amen. And that painful sin in the body, I command you, come out in Jesus' name. Amen. For those who are oppressed and those who are bound by evil spirit, attacks, affliction, mental problem, depression, right now, set them free. Amen. Free from attack. Amen. Free from affliction. Amen. Free from mental problem. Amen. Set them free in Jesus' name. Amen. Any sickness, long-standing, terminal, cancer, heal them right now. swelling any part of the body, fibroid, goiter, hunchback, elephantiasis, Lord, take them away in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, the sicknesses that even experts could not help them and remove and heal, you are greater than all experts. Your power is higher than any of the powers of the experts. Right now, touch them. Heal them. Deliver them. Set everyone free in Jesus' name. Blindness, those blind eyes right now really be opened and see clearly in Jesus' name. Those who are deaf and dumb, Lord, I pray your healing, so great healing, will come to them right now. And those who are lame, paralyzed, one leg shorter than the other, they have arthritis, whatever, I pray, Lord, let supernatural healing strength come to them now. Heal them in Jesus' name. Everyone here without exception, show your merciful miracle. Show your merciful healing. And demonstrate in everyone now your deliverance for everyone. Lord, I pray that your mighty power everywhere, to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back, I pray that power will be manifested. Heal everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Testimony everywhere. Lord, I pray definite touch of the Lord, definite transformation of the Lord, and definite healing in every life in Jesus' name. Amen. It is done. It is done. For me. For me. It's confirmed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. It has happened. Check yourself. You see that the miracle is there.